This is the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the men's side this week by Dartmouth sophomore centerman Luke Hames. Luke, a native of Ottawa, Ontario, and coming off a big weekend, we like to have people on the program that are wielding a hot stick, and Luke certainly qualifies this week. He is the ECAC Forward of the Week for his estimable efforts last weekend in leading the Big Green in a series with Princeton and Quinnipiac, particularly in the Princeton game, which we'll talk about on Friday night. Luke, welcome to the show, and great to have you join us here today.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Bernie.
Well, Luke, we like to kind of delve into the roots of some of our guys here before we talk about the current. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit. Your background, Ottawa area growing up, and then taking your talents and skills out to the BCHL, Ridley College for a couple of years, and then out to the BCHL, which has been a very fertile ground for sending players to Division I hockey. Your track, was it always to come and play hockey and to have the opportunity to play NCAA Division I hockey in America as you kind of plotted your game plan there as a young skater?
Yeah, it wasn't always the first thought. I mean, growing up as a Canadian kid, you always have the option, major, junior, college. And that was a debate for my family and I for a while. But we just thought, I mean, you get the education piece. Obviously, Dartmouth, one of the best schools in the nation. So you get that combined with some great hockey, which is what my priority was. So I kind of lucked out in that regard. And yeah, as you mentioned, going to the BCHL was kind of different for an Ontario player, but I thought it was the best route for me, and ended up being a really good choice for development and getting me prepped for school.
You had a strong year there, and was the team rookie of the year in Cowichan Valley. 52 games, almost a point a game with a 49-point season. What was it like as far as adjustment to play there and your development, what that meant for the development of your game and being able to prep to come into Dartmouth and play at the Division I level?
Yeah, I think, like myself as a hockey player, I like to be, you know, be able to adapt to new paces, new stuff like that. So I think the summers are huge for me, just training in a pro group back home in Ottawa. At Canadian Strength has been huge for me, having mentors like Mackenzie Wieger, Cal DeHaan, a bunch of guys, older guys like that, who kind of helped me learn how to adjust to new paces, new lifestyles, stuff like that. So I think moving to the BC was my first real time without kind of any support, because Ridley was a boarding school, so kind of easy to make your way around there. But in the BC, had an awesome billet family who really took me in and helped me kind of make that transition super smooth. And I think that year was huge for me, just development wise. BC is a super skilled league, and kind of to learn to play really fast, skilled hockey, I think was big for me. And then helped the transition to college a lot easier. And I've been away from home for since I was 15. Wow. So I think that's kind of been, hasn't been too much of a shock, which I'm happy about. But yeah, it made the transition a lot easier from being away from in the BC and then coming into college.
Yeah, you've been away from home since you were 15, and I haven't left home, and I'm 63. So we've got quite a contrast there. My late parents made it too easy. They were too much fun to be around. So I figured, I'll probably stick around. So it's a little different than me, Luke, but really, your growth at that point, you know, I'm just amazed at the path that guys take to Division I college. And oftentimes you leave. In your case, you go a couple of time zones away to be able to play in British Columbia and to have that opportunity. And as far as the opportunity, you know, I always say when I'm talking particularly to guys at the Ivy League, it's not only an opportunity to come to play Division I college, but it's an Ivy League opportunity educationally. How did that all come about as far as recruiting? What were some of your other choices and why Dartmouth was the place?
Yeah, I had a couple other choices, a couple in the ECAC and then a couple abroad. But Jason Tapp was he was the one recruiting me, and he's been absolutely huge in my development and a huge relationship guy for me to kind of just, he's a really good relationship guy for me, especially coming out of the BC where, you know, you don't know any guys. I didn't know anyone coming to the school. And so mm-hmm. he was huge just to kind of help me feel at home. And, he's obviously a great recruiter and, he made me feel like this was the best place to go. And then, meeting the other coaches, Coach Thibodeau and, Coach Cashman, obviously, both some great reputations and, some great histories with hockey. So, I think those guys were, some of the integral parts of me coming here. And, I'm very happy with my decision.
No, no question. You mentioned about Jason Tapp and before we started the interview and, I go back and interesting, you talk about him recruiting you. I remember when he was recruited to go to BU and, gave to BU. So I got a long history with him and, I've really, been a great, just kind of sat back and great admirer of his career and being part of a national championship program back at Union, et cetera. And the great work that he's doing with Coach Cashman there at Dartmouth. And, you've made the most of, your educational experience there. I know you're thinking in terms of potentially economics as a pursuit in that area. Is that still a look that you're kind of looking on a track for right now?
Yeah. So I'm planning to major in kind of a mixed major, which is economics and politics. So it's a bunch of economics class and then government classes to kind of get the best of both worlds. And it's a modified major. So you become like really well-rounded in a bunch of different areas and learn how to think, learn how to write, learn how to do math, everything you kind of need. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. You're kind of finding a niche there. And Dartmouth really is a special place there. And the resurgence of the hockey program, I always put Thompson Arena right at the very top of all the barns in college hockey. It just has a winter's night there, great experience. I've talked to the guys going back decades ago from the first visits I had there. It's just the whole atmosphere, the layout of the building, and a real fast track. The guys always talk about the ice there is probably unmatched in terms of being a great track to play on.
Yeah, I mean, Thompson's been like the place to go around campus. I mean, we talked a lot about how we want to return the program to where guys like Tanner Glass, David Jones had it in 07 in those years. And we want to take it to the next level. So yeah, Thompson's been huge for us. I mean, it's a beautiful rink. Our rink guys are amazing. We take really good care of it. And we've had really good show outs for so far this season, which is awesome because the better you do, the more people will come. So that's sort of our goal is just to do best we can and enjoy every game.
Well, you enjoyed last weekend away from Thompson on the road, specifically down another historic arena, probably right at the top of that list with Baker Rink, named after Hobey Baker down at Princeton. 5-1 victory to start the weekend, and you started it in style with a hat trick in that game, getting off with a power play goal, getting the big green on track there, and also the game-winning goal. Just to give us some insight as far as the success that you had. I mean, I guess, you know, some nights it can jump in the net for you. And that was one of those nights for you, special teams, even strength, really just had it all going on all cylinders.
Yeah. I mean, I think we played a really good team game. Obviously special teams was massive for us that game. And hopefully we'll be down the stretch. But yeah, playing with some good line mates, they're setting me up well. You know, I'm getting to the right spots, just focusing on kind of getting to those spots and burying when I can. But credit goes to my line mates because they're making me look good. So I'm going to keep that going down the path.
And as far as the line mates, the guys you got on the flanks, on the left side, you got Cooper Flinton. He's a big guy like you. He's 6'2", over 200 pounds, New Hampshire native, and a classmate of yours, played in the USHL. And then you've added an interesting Russian player that's been playing on the right side with Nikita Nikora. St. Petersburg, Russian native. Just what about what they bring each night and how you guys have complemented each other to be so successful?
Yeah, I think we've been a really strong line throughout the season. I mean, we got put together somewhat early on, so I think that's been huge for us. Cooper Flinton, big power forward, can really shoot the puck, smart player, good in the corners. He's been huge for me, kind of just learning when to get open, learn when to help him in the corner, being a second quick. But he's awesome in battles, especially. And then Nikita, super smart player, really good with the puck, makes some smart passes. So I think we really complement each other well, because Coop, he's more of a power forward, gets the puck back. Nikita can really make some plays with the puck. And then I kind of like to see myself as like a guy who's able to finish, get to the net, kind of complement those two guys. So
it's worked well. And I'm sure your coach Cashman has seen a number of the important qualities and traits in a line there as far as you guys being able to function together as well as you have. Disappointment at Quinnipiac the next night, that the tough barn to go to. You got the split for the weekend, and you did get another power play goal. What about your role in the power play and your comfort level there? Just to give us some insight about that.
Yeah. Last year I played, I was playing like the one-timer flank all year. So mm-hmm. I was definitely an adjustment this year, moving to bumper, just because we got some good guys on the flanks, and our power play has been hot as of recently. So we'll keep that going. But learning to play the bumper has been huge for me. Kind of just learn how to get open, find my space, being more aware just of the players around me and pockets where I can get open, and then making my way to the net when I think shots are coming. I think it's been huge for me, and had some success there. So going to keep that going. But yeah, credit to the players on my power play unit, because they've been awesome too, moving the puck around. We've been good on entries, and we're going to keep that going.
Absolutely. And the looking to keep that going coming up this weekend. Harvard is the travel partner, rival, always longstanding rival, Dartmouth-Harvard. Your thoughts there as you'll continue on the road and be in Boston to take on Harvard at Bright Hockey Center.
Yeah, super excited for the opportunity. Our team's had a good week of practice, obviously. We had one good win against Princeton and then a tough loss against Quinnipiac, so we're going to be looking to bounce back from that. Obviously, Harvard comes off losing in the bean pot in overtime, mm-hmm. so we'll be looking to take advantage of that and kind of taking it to them on Friday, but we're ready for the challenge.
Well, I'm sure ready. 8 goals in your last 5 games, and, you know, from a coaching standpoint, You get guys, if you can keep them in the program over a 4-year period, you look for the improvement, and you match your goal total from a year ago and surpass your point total already here as you head to the stretch run. So impressive job for you here in your sophomore year, Luke. And usually I'll ask guys a little bit of on the personal side. One of the things that I'm curious about with a lot of guys is superstitions. Hockey players are kind of legendary for superstitions. Do you fall into that category of things that I got to do it before the game, I got to get it done that afternoon, or I'm going to be in a little bit of a panic, or you just kind of go with the flow?
Yeah, I think for me, it's a mix of the both. I think it's tough to have the exact same superstitions, especially college hockey, where sometimes you're on the road and eating times can be different, game times can be different. So it's kind of tough to stick to a specific schedule, but I definitely got a couple of superstitions that I keep under my sleeve.
And what are they? Can you share any of those with us, or will that reveal the superstition and that might give you bad luck? I'm not sure.
I got a couple is whenever I take my stick, I'll use a puck and put puck marks on it. I think if it fools a goalie, probably doesn't. And then I put on the right side of my gear first every time, and then a couple others that I'll keep under my sleeve.
Okay, that's all right. We don't want to mess with it. We're talking to a guy who's got 8 goals in his last 5 games, so we don't want to ruin any of that. That's for sure. Keep the good karma going. Absolutely. No doubt. Luke, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it here today. And best of luck there as you get ready to battle the Crimson on Friday and down the stretch.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Bernie. Appreciate you having me.
Luke Ames, sophomore centerman out of Ottawa, Ontario. Our guest here, skating for the Dartmouth Big Green, getting ready for their next test against Harvard. Our guest here, our profile on Inside ECAC Hockey. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey this week on the women's side, we have our player profile. And from the RPI engineers, we're pleased to have with us Andrea Trinkova, Andrea, native of the Czech Republic, and a freshman who's had an outstanding beginning to her college career at RPI. Andrea, welcome to the show. Great to have you join us.
Hello, hello. Great to have you here.
Great to have you join us here this week. Andrea, first of all, I guess you've had a great impact on the RPI program and your journey from the Czech Republic and how you came to RPI and made the college selection to play NCAA hockey. How did that all come about in terms of the recruiting process and becoming familiar with RPI?
It began when I was the last year at U18 Nationals. So RPI just reached to me and they started asking me for videos and we were in contact. And in a half an hour, I decided to go to that school.
Mm-hmm. And was it of interest to you going back even further when you were younger and beginning your hockey career? Did you have the goal in mind of playing hockey, Division I hockey in the United States, or was that something that came about a little bit more recent?
I think when I was growing up, I saw some of Czech girls actually going to the universities in the U.S. And I think it was kind of my dream to try it, definitely. So when there was the opportunity, I took it immediately. I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, that's great to hear. And of course, there's the hockey opportunity, and that is obviously the big factor and motivation to give you the opportunity. But also, there is the consideration of the academic opportunity. RPI, outstanding school. What factored into your decision there, and what are your interests academically? I know you're only a freshman, but as you begun to explore that, what are some of the things that you're looking at that are of interest to you as you go forward in the academic side?
From the academic side, I think I looked if they have the business and management major, because I know many of the girls took it to go there. And I also knew one of the Czech girls also in the team already, and she took the major. So I kind of was interested. So I asked her about a lot of stuff. What is it about? And mm-hmm. she told me that the major is supposed to be for me as an international, the easiest one. So it wasn't the option that I would took it probably back at home. But I knew that the business and management major is really in every kind of job. So it's good to have it.
Absolutely, that'd be a good degree to have. As you mentioned, it's would be applicable to a number of different areas you might get involved with, which would be great for your background there. You mentioned about having the opportunity coming from participating with the Czech, the U18, and just to give us some insight perspective on your development and the competition level. I believe you played for the U programs coming up, U16, U18. Was that your primary focus there growing up in developing your game?
Yeah, for sure. From my young age, I was playing with guys back in Czech, because there wasn't much opportunity to play just with girls. So I was starting with guys. Then I found out that there is U16s and U18s, women's nationals. And I got to the U16s pretty early. So I started playing there, and I think the coaches see the potential, so they choose me also for the U18 games. And now, right now, for example, I'm in Czech. We have a national tournament here, a tournament of five nations. So I couldn't be happier. I'm right now in the women's national team. So it's going pretty well so far.
And that opportunity, I'm sure, great pride for you. To have the opportunity to represent your country, that's really special and something that I think you really would cherish today and going forward when you think about the future and just being able to play at that level.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what about the competition level, Andrea? As you've made the adjustment to playing in the ECAC, which is such a competitive league, so much great talent in the league. I'm sure you've come to find out over the course of this year. How do you equate it, and how do you compare it as far as what you face there in the U16 and U18 level in Czech Republic?
I must say that I was kind of surprised that the games are that physical, because I was used to playing with guys a lot of physical games, and I was like happy about it, because as you can see from my games, like, I'm a physical player and I like to like hit people sometimes. So for me, I was really happy about it, that the referees are kind of like, when they see the game is going well and there is like no like sneaky hits or like whatever, they just let it go. So that was definitely the bright side of it. And I was also surprised that it's kind of fast.
Mm. About the speed of the game too. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as far as the overall speed, you mentioned about the physical play, and I think you bring up a good point there. And I always say, the officials, they're never going to keep everybody happy, you know, right, wrong. You're going to get complaints. But I always just say, quite simply, if the officials have the feel for the game, the type of game that it is on a given night, and referee accordingly, you're going to be fine. And I think for the most part, they do a great job of that. They allow, if it's a physical game, as mentioned, as long as there's not a lot of cheap, you know, hits or dirty hits or whatever, let them play is usually the way to go. It's a good game.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you watched, speaking of the physical part of the game, have you been watching the PWHL with the new Women's Professional League here in North America? I know when they started the league in January, they talked about the input that they had from the players, Andrea, in the league about how they wanted the game officiated. And they've allowed that game to be a more physical game. And my observation of games that I've seen, it's been a great game. I don't know if you've had a chance to observe any of those games.
I saw one of the first games, and then I saw the highlights, like where they were showing like how physical the games are. So I was pretty excited about that, because like it's not usual right now to see that like a lot of hitting. So I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just looking down the road, maybe into the future a few years. You never know. You might have that opportunity a few years down the road. Who knows?
We will see.
Absolutely. And also representing your country, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention you have two bronze medals, I believe, 2022 and 2023 at the Women's World Championships, and hopefully an opportunity for another one coming up.
Yeah. That was amazing. Those two tournaments, those are memories for life. So I'm really, really happy about it that I could be part of the team, part of the group we had. So yeah, it was really like great tournaments for us, definitely.
And over the course of the year, great numbers and been very impactful. 27 games, you've got 19 points this year, and most importantly, plus 10. Shows that your all-around game has come into focus. And coming off a big weekend with RPI, a sweep weekend, not easy to do in ECAC play, defeated Yale in the opening game of your weekend 4-1. You had a couple of assists and then had a goal and assist against Brown. So something for you and your teammates to build on as you head further into the stretch run with your next challenges.
I think we need to build on our game. We need to keep up with our play, not like trying to be like defensive from their side, I would say. So definitely keep up with our game and keep up the temp, because I think that we are able to play with everyone. So it just needs to be, we just need to go more to the net and shoot more, so we can make the opportunities to score. So I think we need to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going forward. And you've been playing defensively. Taylor Zahiri is, I believe, Pennsylvania native. How have you paired up and combined and complemented each other to be a successful defense tandem?
Yeah, after every shift, we are talking about like what happened on the ice, and we are talking about like what can we do better. So definitely communication is the best in both of us. So we definitely want to work on like talking more, like, for example, in the defensive zone when there is like pressure, so we can talk and we just know what to do next. But other than that, I really like to play with her. I think she's a great defenseman, and she makes me better also on the ice.
Mm-hmm. You and Taylor have been paired up, been a good combination. And I got to ask you, you've got a high number with number 89, a little bit unusual number. And any story behind that number selection for you to have number 89? Is that the number that you had, lucky number for you in growing up and having played U16 and U18?
To be honest, I would say it's kind of total and random, because back when I was playing like home, I was always had like number 20. In nationals, I had I still having number 15. But I choose 89, I don't know, because I like it, and it kind of has like history in Czech Republic. So I think that's kind of my meaning.
You said, oh, the significance to the Czech Republic, you mean the 89?
Yeah, yeah.
1989, right? Yep.
Exactly.
Absolutely. There you go. little historical and political reference there. That makes perfect sense, Amy. Very nice. Very nice. And busy time here, stretch run. I'm sure a lot of excitement now. Your next challenge is coming up with your RPI team.
Yeah, we are excited because we are now like on a winning streak a little bit. So we are excited right. for next games.
Absolutely. We wish you the best going forward with RPI down the stretch. And then once again, when you have the opportunity to represent your country. And pleasure having you on here today, Andrea. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, too. I really like it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And we want to thank Andrea Trinkova, RPI Engineers, as our guest here this week on our Women's Profile for Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast. Follow ECAC Hockey across all social media platforms, and thank you to the coaches and players for coming on the podcast every week. This has been the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.